As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Greg Bordonaro with the Hartford Business Journal joining us for the Connecticut Business Blend Mondays at 8:50 a.m. right here on WTSE News Talk 1080. So, Greg, good morning. How are you? Oops, sorry. Go ahead. One more time. Greg, good morning.
Hey, good. How are you, Brian?
Good. Thank you. Listen, if there's going to be a freeze on international students, right, if they're going to be, whether they can't come or whether they're going to be sent home, I don't know. But this could have a pretty dramatic impact in higher education, including, you know, some really important institutions here in Connecticut.
Yeah, so there's been a lot of talk about the Trump administration revoking or suspending visas for international students. There's been now reports of several dozen international students in Connecticut who have had their visas revoked. We looked at this issue from a financial and sort of a business case of how much of an impact international students play at Connecticut colleges. International students typically pay top dollar. They pay the highest tuition of any students usually who go to these colleges, even more so than out-of-state students because they typically don't get financial aid. So a lot of them are paying the sticker price, which is significant sums depending on which school you go to. So we took a look at which Connecticut colleges public or private enroll the most international students. And we found some interesting data. So University of New Haven, for example, has the most. 37% of their student enrollment in 2023-24 academic year were international students, over 3,600 students, which is a significant sum. And right now they're projecting for next year that they're only going to have 1,800 students, international students enrolled as their projections for next year because of the crackdown on visas. That's when you're talking about, per semester, say, $30,000-$40,000 in tuition, maybe more at the University of New Haven.
That's devastating.
But yeah, that's a huge chunk of the revenue. Yale University, not surprisingly, has over 3,500 international students, about 24% of their student population. UConn, over 3,400, about 12% of their student population. Sacred Heart, over 17% of their student population, international students. So, these schools bring in international students in part because, they want to diversify their student body, but it is also, financially, it makes a lot of sense to increase international student enrollment because they do pay that top dollar. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of financial implications this has on these colleges.
Yeah, I guess for me, you compare Yale to University of New Haven. University of New Haven doesn't have the endowment that Yale has, so they rely on tuition for cash flow, whereas Yale could probably absorb a hit, especially in the short term, where New Haven can't.
Yeah, I think University of New Haven is going to be a school to watch in terms of just how the dramatic impact financially it's going to have. But you're right, the bigger colleges, even UConn, UConn doesn't have a huge endowment. I think it's not even $1 billion yet, but they may be able to, they'll be able to sustain it more so than a University of New Haven,
yeah,
or maybe even a Sacred Heart University, which has 70% of its students. So the endowment really does come into play, and obviously Yale's got a big one.
We're talking with Greg Bordonaro from the Hartford Business Journal on the Connecticut Business Blend here on Brian and Company. We talked a little bit earlier, the really interesting story about this pocket neighborhood concept in East Hartford, and But in general, multifamily development is doing well here in Connecticut. I mean, we need this stuff badly.
Yeah, so you know, we definitely need more housing. And, you know, it's more so we're going to build the number of units that are needed. It's going to be in apartments. You know, single family homes. That's a slow burn in terms of adding single family homes in Connecticut. There's not a lot of land. Where there is land, there's resistance to it. Then, and of course, there's resistance to the apartment. A lot of apartment projects too. But you know, last year was a big year in terms of new apartments coming online. Over about almost 6,600 apartments built in 2024 in Connecticut. 94% increase over 2023. There was a lot of concern maybe that higher construction costs and higher interest rates would prevent a lot of these apartment projects from going forward. That didn't happen last year. Part of the reason is because banks were very willing to lend. If you remember, in 2023, there was a pullback on lending. There was that short, that banking crisis where those three regional banks failed. There was a concern among banks, slower economy. So there was a pullback in 2023. So banks and also private equity investors who are also investing in some of these multifamily projects, they were more willing to lend last year. Right. And we talked to some developers who are also were bullish coming into 2025. But now the concern is, what's the impact of tariffs? Obviously, the housing industry, they depend on things like lumber, steel, and those things, aluminum. Those are all things that are in the crosshairs of tariffs right now, particularly, from competition from China. Them, China dumping steel into the U.S. market. I think there's going to be, I think there's a legitimate argument that we need to protect the steel industry in the United States. So what does that do to steel prices? Looking back in 2021, 2022, that post-pandemic area where there were supply chain issues and, significant inflation. So in 2021, there was 13.7% basically inflation on construction costs. And then 2022, 15.8%, which is pretty significant increases in prices for construction goods. We talked to an economist who doesn't think that tariffs will have that as much of an impact in terms of increasing it that much, but there's just a lot of uncertainty. So what's happening now is banks are requiring higher contingencies, and a contingency is basically, if you're uncertain about how much tariffs might increase your cost, they're going to ask these apartment developers to put aside an extra 10 to 15% in budget flexibility, just in case there is that significant spike in tariffs. So that could sideline some projects heading into the rest of this year.
Just real quick, we're with Greg Bordenaro from the Hartford Business Journal. Again, you can go to hartfordbusiness.com, the Connecticut Business Blend every Monday at 8:50. The job growth here in Connecticut, it's not a good picture right now, right?
Yeah, so the first we had about 2,300 job gains in January, but those have been wiped out now. February, we lost 1,700 jobs. That's the official number now. If they revise the initial numbers, and then the initial projection in terms of losses in March was 4,500. The caveat is we have to wait till next month to really get the official number, since all these numbers are always an estimate in that first. But if you combine those two, we've lost 4,000 jobs for the year. That's definitely going against a trend of 16,000 job gains in 2024, almost 20,000 job gains in 2023. A lot of economic uncertainty right now. Businesses are hesitant to make some investments right now, and that's really the key driver in growth. So Connecticut's not off to a good start. I wouldn't surprise me if we hit more road bumps over the coming months in terms of the employment outlook. Still, the unemployment rate is still low, 3.6%, which, economists view as full employment right now. And there's still tens of thousands of jobs open in Connecticut. So it's really, the economic numbers for years now have been just strange, because we've got all these open jobs. Job growth has been slow overall, and now we're starting to see some job losses. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out the rest of the year.
All right, Greg, have a great week, buddy. Thank you so much.
You too.